long-term Wikipedia. Yes, I'll be involved in Wikipedia for about 7 to 8 years. Very active editor.
Hi, I'm John Byrne. I'm usually user John Bard, but I'm Wikipedia in residence at Cancer Research UK, and I have a different name for that, Wikicraft John. And I've been an editor for a long time, not a medical editor, but I am doing 6 months, 7 months, 4 days a week at Cancer Research UK. And that's obviously involved me very deep in the medical field.
I'm Henry Scowcroft. I work for Cancer Research UK in their user multimedia team. Cancer Research UK is, for those of you who don't know, basically the largest cancer research charity in the world. We fund thousands of researchers and we produce large reams of information for very different audiences, from journalists, patients, to public. I work in the sort of news end of things, so responding to stuff in the media. And since about 2011, I've also been a sort of part-time Wikipedian and have been involved in basically setting up a collaboration between Cancer Research UK and Wikimedia UK in the form of Wikipedia in the residence. That's me.
Hi, I'm Henry Potts. I'm a senior lecturer at UCL's new Institute of Health Informatics. So I do research on how patients, or the doctors, use new technology, the internet, mobile phones, and stuff like that. Years now, I'm involved with the Zoom or Wikipedia, although I don't actually edit health-related articles that much myself.
Okay, James, so what does Wikipedia have in the way of health information?
So, as a quick overview, Wikipedia has about 160,000 medical articles across 250 languages. About 25% of these are in English. These articles get about 3% of all Wikipedia's page views, which is about 5 billion page views in 2013. While Wikipedia has a huge amount of content, is extensively read, the number of people editing Wikipedia's content is surprisingly small. So what we found is that in 2013, we had about 270 editors across all languages who made more than 250 edits to edit medical content. So really a tiny number of people writing for this massive audience.
And in terms of how people get health information online, what do we know?
So maybe 10 years ago, if you talked about health on the internet, what people were obsessed with was the quality of information. And you read the medical journals and then the article after article after article going, ooh, there's poor quality information online. This is a bad thing. And no one worried that there's poor quality health information in magazines, TV, books, told to you by your neighbour without pens. We've moved on, hopefully, by and large from that, to now understanding that health information online is more complicated. Yes, it's good to have good quality information, but you can have good quality information that is still not necessarily helpful, that's misinterpreted. Different people are using health information in very different contexts and for different reasons. Knowledge isn't a set of objective facts. It is always socially constructed, and what health users need at different points varies a lot depending on their context.
we've done some studies of who uses this and why and what in what situation. Actually turns out that the number of people who are actually recently diagnosed, actively being treated patients, almost paradoxically is quite low. What it actually turns out, the people who are reading this are the friends and relatives of people recently diagnosed, or nurses, doctors, oncologists, who want to find some information to give to their patients. So this stuff is ending up, the information itself is ending up with the patients, but maybe the patients aren't the actual primary users of the website. Over the years, when you were sort of working online content, you end up doing things like search engine optimization and keyword analysis. And one of the
we kind of know that it's too big to really research, and it's too big to worry about, and it's also international, whereas of course Cancer Help, Cancer Research UK, although I'm sure it does show up on non-UK searches, but their role is very largely UK directed, just of course as American NCI sites show up in UK searches.
discussion. Now we have basic approval from Wikisource. At least we can do some tests there.
Yep.
And the video bot has been running for a number of years on Commons. So basically, the components are all there. And we want to demo it somewhere, ideally in medical articles that are highly read. And we want, this also means that we would add to the typical reference information that the full text of that reference is available on Wikisource, that the images are in Wikimedia Commons, and so on.
So yeah, you know, I think it's an excellent idea. One step further would be to create another namespace on Wikipedia called references, and then actually, you know, type the reference over from Wikisource into Wikipedia itself, so that those who are accessing Wikipedia via their cell phones in the developed world via Wikimedia Zero can then actually read the references, and this will be huge. And Cochrane is actually tempted to release their content under an open license if we can make this happen.
Well, this is actually kind of happening already. Wikipedia Zero is changing their system. Initially, they were kind of, the access was URL based, but now it will be based on the IP range, and so any Wikimedia server will be exempted that would include Wikisource.
Wow, that would solve the problem.
They are in the process of transition, and so any project that starts new with Wikipedia Zero will have this configuration. The existing ones are being migrated.
Right. Was there a question over there?
There's just one small example. Well, what usefulness of this that I can already tell you about is what I want to work on if you do is make short videos about explaining some scientific concepts that we're working on. And quite often we just need some B-roll footage of cells dividing or something, and quite often we find stuff that's kind of just been hyped out from open access papers, and we take that and we reference Wikimedia Commons, so we're able to make a much wider range of videos and more interesting videos to users because of the access to the pipeline.
Yep.
So thank you.
Two things. First of all, as I'm a fourth year medical student, we just got the largest SAP GP. It's quite interesting the way that it's used in GP or Wikipedia is GP. It's kind of used as backup. If you sent to a page where there was hate to work with GP services in Google, the page will come in and say, right, I'm going to Google it, and it says, I'm going to charge it. Yeah. So it seems to be like, okay, you don't, you just figure out the sums of the law, you're being paid. And his Wikipedia article about me, the user has a picture or something, whatever. And it just seems that Wikipedia is a universally trusted source. So actually, it ends up being, all right, in terms of participation, so it tends to be a, this guy's got my back, so if you believe me, that actually tends to, well, patients seem to leave happy or content.
The nature of the patient dot communication is obviously being studied extensively. In the old days, we had a paternalistic system, you trust your doctor to do everything, and many people still want that. They still want the doctor to make the decisions. They don't want to have to think about it. No. But that's changing, and we know we get better health outcomes if people do engage. But that engagement in health, what I would like to see is doctors engaging with the patient, showing them websites like, say, here's a good website for you to go to, here's a good online support group, this will help answer your question. The doctors mainly say they don't have time to do that. They'd love to do that, but they don't have time. But it is interesting how a common thing people do use health information for is a second opinion. I've been to my doctor says that. I want to check on that. People like having that secondary, so it's interesting what you're saying that in a better GP is providing that in the actual article. The other issue there is this particular role of diagnosis. One of the main things people do is they seek to diagnose that they've got. I've got this symptom, what do I have? And what we found is often they go, well, I've got these symptoms. And this condition has said these symptoms, therefore I've got that condition. And the problem isn't that they're wrong. They're not wrong in the sense that, they do have the same three symptoms of that condition. But they don't understand some subtle effects. They don't understand, for example, that that's a very rare condition. So it's unlikely they've got it, even if their symptoms happen to match. And it's those more complicated things where health information online has never really solved the problem. The problem isn't getting the information accurate. It's how to explain to the patient that, yes, you do have the same three symptoms of Burchell's Fever syndrome, but you've probably just got hay fever. And I think that's a challenge for health information online.
we've actually just released, about the last week, we released 400 very simple diagrams that the patient health cancer research patient health pages use, and those do include actually very simple exercises after breast reconstruction